Good evening. It's a privilege for me to be with you. I'm a kind of nervous today, but I think Elder Larry Bogus is more nervous than me, because he is wondering if somebody's going to understand me today. Thank you for the opportunity to share with a great family in Mountain View. I believe you have the greatest of the Union. I spent a lot of years in Potomac working there, and Camp Blue Ridge is a good camp. But the scenery here and all the facilities that you have are really enjoyable. And it seems that you like it, that you love them, and you care for them. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. This evening, I'm very happy to share something that is really deep in my heart. Elder Bogus told me that the main theme throughout this week will be the grace of God, Jesus saves. And I was praying and thinking about what I will share with you tonight, and what the Lord intended me to share with you. And kindly, I ask you to bow your head so we can ask the Lord to guide us in the Bible. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to have the freedom, the enjoyment to be in the midst of nature, to study your word, and to hear your voice tonight once more. Throughout this week, we want to be led and taught by the Spirit through your word. Talk to us and help us to see clearly what you want each of us to experience in our own life. In Jesus we pray. Amen. I got a wonderful wife. It's very short. I choose her very short in order to be easy. But it was the opposite. She's a good teacher, taught TA, Spanish there, and music. She used to play, teach music. And I got three children, all married, yeah. Hoping to be a grandfather, but they don't make me a grandfather. They take too long. I said to them, you know, at your age, with your mom, we have all of you. But they think very seriously now to bring a child. And I love them. I got two daughters and a son. The son is pastoring three Anglo churches in Roanoke, Virginia. I'm very happy that he's in ministry, and pray for him. Tonight, the title that I want to share with you, I choose the following words: nothing less than the fullness of His grace. Let me repeat that. Nothing less than the fullness of His grace. There are passages, texts in the Bible that are really uplifting the soul and help us to see that the dream that the Lord has for each of us surpasses every possibility of our minds to grasp. Amen. One of these beautiful passages is in the middle of one of the most beautiful prayers in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through the end of the chapter, the Apostle Paul, and I learned by heart this prayer, and let me repeat it for you. Sorry that I'm going to use the NIV, because it's hard for me to understand the other one, the old version, the King James Version. And it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you in your inner being through His Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled, listen now, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's really hard for me to understand that expression. That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. This is what the Lord wants us, for us, to experience in our life. Not just a little bit of the cake, the whole cake, the whole experience. By the way, Jesus came to this world in order to make us possible to experience the fullness of God. In Colossians, if you follow me in your Bibles, in chapter 1, verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him," in Jesus. All the fullness of deity came in bodily form, it says, chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus brought all what is heaven to us in order that we may have the opportunity to enjoy life. Sometimes I wonder why in the world, as Christians, we get so satisfied with just a little bit. And we experience just a little bit of the joy of the Lord, and the power of the Lord, and the excitement of the Lord, and the life of the Lord. Probably, when we don't focus in what God is, our problems, our struggles, our pains, our difficulties on the way become the central matter in our minds and our prayers and our lives. And as much as we think about our problems and our weaknesses and our sins, as much they grow in our minds. And as much our problems grow in our mind, God starts losing sight and becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. That's why Jesus came, in order that we may have an experience of the fullness of our God. In John chapter 1, verse 16, in the introduction of this wonderful gospel, John says, inspired by God, the following. Verse 16 in chapter 1, he says, "From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another." Isn't that exciting, brothers and sisters? That we have in our hand, in our reach, the possibility to have an ever-growing experience in God. Jesus brought to us the fullness of God. Jesus is the fullness of God among us. And Jesus wants for each of us to experience that fullness. How we can experience that? How we can have a true experience of a growing experience of the fullness of God? You know, the presence of God brings the fullness of God. That's why in the Bible there are some passages that we use them to talk about health reform. But they have another way to look at those passages, about that our bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit and of God. But besides our conclusions about the way that we need to treat our bodies, the main point in those passages is that God longs to bring the fullness that He has for us come into our hearts, dwelling in ours, and helping us to walk with Him every day, with Jesus in our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. It's the dwelling of Jesus in our hearts that brings the whole fullness of God and the whole fullness of His grace. Jesus went up to take care of our salvation, to intercede for us, to prepare a place for us. But He said before He left, if you love me, you will obey what I command. This is a NIV, I'm sorry. if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, listen to that. I will ask the Father, and He will send you another Counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him because He lives in you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. This is beautiful. But there is another passage that really surprised me. Look in your Bibles, chapter 14, in the same chapter that we were quoting, chapter 14 of John, verse 23. Amazing, amazing promise of the Lord. It says, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to Him and make our home with Him. Amen. That deserves a bigger amen. Amen. Not only the Holy Spirit, brothers and sisters, it's the longing of our Father, the Creator and the Sustainer of the whole universe, Jesus Christ, the whole Trinity, that wants to make as their home. Amen. Because they want to bring the fullness of what they are to us. Amen. So we can participate, we can experience, we can enjoy, we can share the fullness of God. Amen. Around us. Amen. And it's amazing that Jesus placed His abiding, His remaining in Him together with the attitude of obeying His word, keeping His word. In this passage that we quoted before, chapter 14, verse 15, He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. In the chapter 15, verse 7, He says, if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. So, keeping His word, feeding our minds, filling our minds with His word, is the way that Jesus, through His Spirit and the Father, abides in us. The Lord is ready to come to our hearts, but we need to do something. What we need to do in order to experience that fullness of Christ is to fill our minds with His Word. Amen. Studying the Word, memorizing the Word, filling our thoughts with the wonders of His Word. Sometimes I feel that a Seventh-day Adventist, we have become like Coca-Cola. Sorry for the comparison. It was the classic Coca-Cola, then the diet, and then now zero. Yeah. We used to be very powerful in the world.
Amen. That's right. Preach it.
And now we are Seventh-day Adventist diet or even going to zero. Zero Bible. And the Bible is God's power on our reach. Amen. It's a quotation in one of the most dear books for me of Ellen G. White. It's the book that talks about the parables of Jesus. And it's a mighty book. And she says that in every word, in every commandment, the power of God is there. When we receive His word, we are receiving His life. Amen. Jesus taught us that in John chapter 5, verse 24. It's a beautiful passage, and it says, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." Amen. Receiving His word is receiving God's life, God's power, God's enjoyment, God's peace. All the beauties that are contained in God's fullness are in His word. And God will never force us to go and study and spend time with the Bible. This is something that we need to do. It's our responsibility. It's our task. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" Help me out. "Living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands." And the following is more known by you. "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth." Ellen G. White talks about how the Israelites learn by heart long portions of the Bible. My friends, if we want to experience the fullness of God, we need to get serious. Amen. In the Bible. Amen. On the Word. Filling our minds with His Word. Secondly, my friends, there is something that God will not do for us, and it's essential in order that we may experience His fullness. Filling our lives with prayer. Prayer. Prayer in the morning. Prayer at noontime. Prayer in the evening. And even more, Paul says in Ephesians 6, verse, where it talks about the armor, the spiritual armor, he says that we need to learn and possess a powerful weapon, that is to pray in the Spirit. Keep our minds continuously in tune with God. Pray, pray. When Jesus told Peter, "Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fault you." And Peter said, "No, I won't disappoint you. I won't betray you. I will die for you. I will go to jail for you." And Jesus said, "Peter, before the crow sings, you will deny me how many? Three times. Just a few moments later, Jesus asked Peter, John, and James to be closer to Him and pray. In Matthew 26, verse 40 and 41, it says the Bible that He came to them and found them sleeping. "Would you not, men, not pray with me for 1 hour? The old version says, "Tarry 1 hour."
Spend time with us at least 1 hour, the first hour of the day. Ellen G. White in Steps to Christ says that is our first job. Spend 1 hour with God every morning and talk to God and communicate with Him, with the Bible, with our hearts, opening our hearts to Him. Prayer is so essential. It's so essential for Christian life. And my friends, let me tell you that study of the Bible and prayer are not enough. And Pastor Larry Bogus, probably we are missing one element. You see, Ellen G. White talks that when we have Bible study and prayer without the third element, we surely fall to extremes. Bible study and prayer without mission becomes dangerous. Dangerous. What brings balance? What brings, you know, the fullness of experience with God is not only to study the Word, get serious in the Word, and get serious praying and learning how to pray in the Spirit the whole day. But study the Word and prayer without that heart full of passion and love for those who are around us doesn't help. You know, we have heard that is from the General Conference, and I praise God to hear that. They are encouraging us to look for a revival. Intentionally pray for a revival. Look. Search for a true revival in us, in our homes, in our marriages, in our children, in our ministries at the church, in our churches and our conference and our whole organization. But true revival will never happen only with Bible and prayer. It's amazing what happened at the shore of the Galilee Sea. You remember that story in Mark 5, when Jesus got down from the boat with the disciples and found in Gazarene a demon possessed, or two demons possessed, according to the Gospels. And the miracle that Jesus performed that day, it's amazing. You remember that story? How Jesus change the insanity of his mind. Now, and a man whose mind now is balanced. How a man who was undressed now, who was addressed before the presence of God. Not only a physical dress, but the emotional dress, the spiritual dress, the self-esteem. Everything was restored in his life. And when Jesus was cast out from the region because of the plea of the people, that man who was restored, who was changed, who was transformed, said, I cannot bear one day without being in the presence of Jesus. So he begged Jesus, please Jesus, let me go with you. And Jesus answered his prayer. And he said, if you want to be in the closest place to me, listen to me, please. Jesus said to that demon possessed, restored, saved, changed, if you want to be close to me, the closest place to me is when you go to your home and your family and tell them what the Lord has done in your life. What the Lord has done. Listen, he never listened one sermon. He didn't have the opportunity to to register in the Bible prophecy class. He didn't have to go to the Sabbath school and receive the Sabbath school quarterly. He didn't have any chance that we have. But Jesus said, if you want to grow, if you want to experience, if you want to continuously experience my fullness and my presence in your life, go to your family. Go to your family and tell them how great things God has done for you. There are some quotations that I want to share with you. In the Sirus of Ages, page 339, Ellen G. White says that Jesus, when he said to him, go to your home and your family, in doing this work, they could receive a greater blessing. It is in working to spread the good news of salvation that we are brought near to the Lord. Sometimes I wonder, churches that said, we cannot get serious in mission because we are discouraged. We are spiritually flat. There is no life in our churches. So we need to get our spiritual restored and then go. It's not that way. Go. Go. And you say, what am I going to do? Tell, do what you can do and nothing else could do for you. It's just tell people, not about the Sabbath, not about the 66 or the little horn. It's not. You need to conquer the heart of your friends and your family. We need to get, you know, a true friendship. And people are very smart. Usually we think about mission to go and talk about Sabbath, that we need to avoid pork and avoid cigarettes and about Ellen G. White, the sanctuary and the judgment. We think about that. People are not prepared for that. And people will react in a very negative way because they will protect themselves and they will react negatively to somebody who wants to proselytize them. But if we go to them and share and show them that we are truly friends, they are honestly friends, and we respect them, we love them as they are, and we are willing to serve them, sooner or later, the door will open. Sooner or later, the door will open. You see, according to Jesus' plan to evangelize the world, it's not by professionals. We think about evangelism thinking about professionals. I'm very happy that the conference is inviting our brethren here to help the churches, to train, to give Bible studies. But he is not the solution. Sorry, Larry. No, please. Don't get angry at me. The solution is in us. In us. Every time that somebody comes to the church by professionals, when the professionals go, they go too. They don't have a network of friends who can coach them, who can help them to experience the fullness of Christ. So the best way, and the only way by Jesus, show in the Bible, is that every one of us can start getting seriously working in our little church. Have you know that you are a pastor? Without ordination, that doesn't matter. Please, I don't want to get in trouble here. But every one of us have a church. And that church, that congregation, is conformed by your immediate family, your relatives, your neighbors, and if you still go to work, to a working place, your co-workers or your employees or your bosses, those who with whom you relate every day in a daily basis, those are the congregation, the world that we need to evangelize. And you said, Pastor, I'm sorry, I need to go to Andrews, or I need to go to Amazing Facts to get some training. No, we don't need that. We need to learn how to be friends. And you know how our mind can be changed? Just think about your congregation. Not your church, your congregation. Conformed by whom? Your family? Immediate family? Who else? Relatives? Close by? Neighbors? What else? Co-workers? Friends with whom we have a relationship. We relate. Just think about them and pray for the Lord and pray to the Lord and say, Lord, this year I'm going to pray for 5 names. Start with 5 names only. Please, don't more than that. Don't do less than that. 5 names. Everybody can pray? Could we? You know, if we think about our prayers, listen, just remember last time that you passed a time, a season in prayer. Where our focus is. Lord, you know that I have a pain, I need your help, Lord. Bless the doctor when I go there in order that he may give me the right medicine. Lord, you know that I'm experiencing struggling with my husband. He never changed. I hope that he would change, but he never changed. Lord, help me with my wife. You know, most of our prayers, that's why it's difficult for us to spend long times in prayer, because our prayer life rounds up around requests, personal requests. But let's start focusing ourselves praying for our neighbor. Mary, Lord, it seems like she's Catholic, but I love her and I want to see her in the kingdom of heaven. Please, Lord, touch her. Help me to find ways to serve her, to show her that I love her. And we start praying for them. And it's better when we don't do it by ourselves. It's very easy to get discouraged. Find out somebody in the church, the same sex, please. Not the opposite sex. The same sex. Somebody who really become a partner doing the same thing. So the other person has 5 names, you have 9 names. You share the 5 names with the other person, and the other person share with you his 5 names or her 5 names. And every day, every second day, one calls to the other. The next second day, the other calls to you and pray by phone. Or they get together if they are close by and pray for those names. You know, it can be a turning around in your life, my friends. I need to finish. But let me share 2 only things more. Our churches are sad, are not happy, because we have the joy of Jesus of the reconciliation. We have the joy of Jesus of the forgiveness. We have probably the joy of Jesus of obedience, but the greatest joy in the Bible is always related to the salvation of other people. That's why there are so many people in the churches with long faces. They bring lemon, not only to help their bodies, but to disfigure their faces. And they go with the ugly face to the church. They don't enjoy the church. They don't enjoy their Christian life. Why? Because they are always thinking in themselves. The pastor doesn't visit me. Nobody thinks about me. I'm alone. I'm forgotten. I have the joy to participate in the church, and that responsibility, now they took it away from me. And we cry, but my friends, the greatest joy that Jesus God has placed us in our reach is a joy that nobody can take it away. It's the joy to work for the salvation of other people. It's the joy to pray for them, to serve them, to get friends among the people who are not part of our faith. And then, slowly, the Lord will guide us. Someday, one of them will say, "It's amazing. Why in the world everybody goes to church on Sunday, and you go on Saturday?" Praise the Lord. Amen. They ask you for Bible studies, and you start talking about them. You know my testimony? Don't start with the seal of God and the mark of the beast. No, forget it about that. Talk about how Jesus changed your life. Amen. How enjoyable is Sabbath with your family, with your children. And then someday you will say, "You know, I was praying for you for the last 3 months, and I have a friend in the church that is praying for you too. And you know, you are in a difficult situation now. Probably sickness, death, unemployment, whatever the situation is. Could you come with us and pray in our small group or the church?" Then my friends at the church will be delighted to pray also for you and to know you, because we are praying for you. You see, the person needs to come to the church without Bible studies, but they come to church drawn by the friendship, by the love, by the care of those who belong to that family. And then they will discover the beauties of the truth that Jesus entrusted us. And they will become now another way to reach their own families. You know, this is a snowball. We need to change the pattern, my friends, because in this way, the Lord won't come. From the perspective of Hispanics, I get so discouraged, because every year, sorry for you guys, I'll tell you this, 1 million babies are born in this country. Hispanics. Plus, I don't say it, they cross some way. Probably close to 500,000. And you know, Ellen G. White says that the Lord brings people from all the nations in this country in order that they may become acquainted with the truth. This is what Ellen G. White says. And our church in South America started in that way. An immigrant from Germany went to Argentina, and their family came to the United States. And someday, he decided to come here to the United States to visit his family. And his family was in contact with the Ellen G. White writings, and they were part of our Seventh-day Adventist church. So he brought all the books in German to Argentina. And our church started in that way in Argentina. The first place in South America among the immigrants from Germany. It's amazing. So I see here a golden opportunity, but you know, the whole division every year are baptized about 20,000 Hispanics. But what is 20,000 Hispanics when every year we have 1.5 million more? So the plan that we hold for so many years, adding people to the church, is glorifying Satan. What the Lord wants us is to multiply. And never can we experience a multiplication unless everybody sees that in order to save ourselves. Let me repeat it in that way with careful, because we are saved by grace. But if we have the grace of God in our hearts, it's impossible to hide that. So, or we believe in a lie, or something else is happening in us. So, the pattern has to change. In the New Testament, discipleship was growing by multiplication. Multiplication. In 30 years, a little bit more than 30 years, Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 could say, declare, 30 years before Jesus went up to the heaven, Jesus said the gospel is preached in the whole world. How in the world they could do that? Amen. Our pioneers had that. Our pioneers felt the responsibility, the joy, the great opportunity, the great privilege to share the good news. And our church multiplied at the beginning. I pray, my friends, that you and me may have a truly experience with the fullness of God. In order to have that, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. Fill our life with prayer. And fill our hearts with the compassion and love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you because not only you want to forgive us and to help us to be obedient, a better person, but you want for us, for each of us, to develop your dream. And your dream is that we may have the fullness of you in us. Oh Lord Jesus, forgive us, because we get so accustomed to just a little bit of your grace. Give us thirst. Place in our heart hunger to experience the fullness of Jesus. I pray for Mountain View Conference. There are millions of people here in this state. And it's our responsibility to reach them with the love of Christ. Help us to do what we can do. Pray for them. And serve for the circle of our friends and families, those who you place in our reach. I pray for the officers of this conference and the pastors and every single lay pastor who is here. And may soon the outpouring of your Spirit may be a truly experience in us. In Jesus we pray. Amen.